Bibles, the book of Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to read verses 30 through 31, and then we'll have a word of prayer, and then we're going to go to the book of Joshua. So go ahead and turn to all of those different texts, Hebrews 11 and also the book of Joshua, and we'll go ahead. We end up in chapter 6 is where the main thrust is going to be at, but we're going to start in Joshua 1, read a few texts. Went our way over through there. Does that sound all right? All right, Hebrews chapter 11, and let's notice verses 30 and 31. It says, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight that we have this privilege and honor to be in your house. And Lord, we're thankful for these people that are here. And Father, we pray that, Lord, that you'd bind the strong man, that there be no disruptions, Father, that we'd be able to focus on what's being said and done. And Lord, we pray that perhaps someone be saved tonight through this message. We pray that your people would worship you. And we put the world outside the doors, Lord, and focus our minds totally upon you. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen. Now, where we're at, let's go back now to the book of Joshua. And keep your place, keep something there in Hebrews 11, because eventually we'll come back there. Now, last time we were here, we were all the way back in the book of Exodus, if you'll remember. And we pointed out last time we was here that there is a gap in the book of Exodus that goes all the way down to the time of Joshua. The wilderness journey in Hebrews 11 wasn't even mentioned because it was a time of great unbelief. They murmured, constantly they complained. So once you get down to the wilderness journey, you don't see none of it in Hebrews chapter 11 because of unbelief, and that's what we dealt with last week. Now, this message tonight will be our last in this series. We've been in this about 4 or 5 months. I was going to look up the exact time and forgot to. But this has been a great series, I think. I've enjoyed it. You go back and rehearse some of those Old Testament stories. That did they happen? Of course they happened. And they're great examples of faith. And that's why we've been looking at it. Of course, the reason why I keep reiterating this over and over again, the reason why you have Hebrews 11 is because the Hebrews, what they were doing in the book of Hebrews, which I think was written by the Apostle Paul, they were departing from the faith. They began to think that the new covenant wasn't for them, and they were drifting back under the sacrifice system. So what the Apostle Paul does in the book of Hebrews is shows the superiority of the new covenant over the old covenant. And then he goes back, and he goes to their history in Hebrews 11, and he goes, he goes from Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and he goes all the way back to Enoch, and he mentions all the different heroes of faith in the book of Genesis and the book of Exodus. He comes all the way down to Moses, now down to Joshua, and he shows that their great heroes of faith in the past were saved by what? That's why we call it the heroes of faith. They were saved by faith. They lived by faith. So that's the purpose of the book of Hebrews. Now, where we're at, when we're eventually going to end up in Joshua chapter 6, but where we're at in Hebrews 11, when it's talking about the walls of Jericho, is Israel had crossed the Jordan River. And I'm not going to take the time. That's a beautiful picture. And the Lord rolls that water back. The priests go into the water with carrying the Ark of the Covenant, then it just piles up. And then they go through on dry land, sort of like they did in the Red Sea. And their first obstacle that they come to in the Promised Land on the east side of Jordan, it'd be on the west side of Jordan, was the city of Jericho. And one of the complaints that the spies had with regard to not wanting to go into the land 40 years earlier is the cities were walled, they said, and they went up to the heavens. Now, that's a little exaggeration, don't you think? But the walled cities was intimidating to them. So that was one of the reasons why the spies brought back a bad report. What's going to happen with regard to the city of Jericho? It was a walled city. So once they cross the Jordan River and they come into the land of Canaan, that's their first obstacle. That's the first thing that they run into. Okay? So we're going to title this message, Jericho, a Victory. Jericho, a Victory of Faith. Now, if you'll look at what I handed you, I'm just going to read a little bit of this. This is on Answers in Genesis, and the diagram comes from what they found in archaeology. They found the city of Jericho, and they went through it numerous different times, of what they think the walls of Jericho looked like. Actually, as you'll notice on your diagram, it was a wall within a wall, and oftentimes they made them that way. So let's go ahead and read a little bit about that. Not verse, but let's look down right under the diagram. The mound, or the tail of Jericho, was surrounded by a great earthen rampart or embankment. Now, they claim that at that embankment, between those two walls, there was houses back in the original time. So there'd be houses there, houses behind it for the folks that lived there. Now, do you remember also that Rahab the harlot, she lived on the wall? So when she let the spies down, remember, they had the scarlet cord. They climbed down a scarlet cord, or like a rope type, and they climbed down the wall. So I want you to keep that in mind, too. So there was houses that were on the wall. So this was a large system. The mound or tail of Jericho was surrounded by a great earthen rampart or embankment with a stone retaining wall at its base. The retaining wall was some 4 or 5 meters or 12 to 15 feet on top. On top of that was mud brick wall, 2 meters, 6 feet thick. That's a pretty good size. That's a pretty thick wall, isn't it? 6 feet thick, about 6 to 8 meters, 20 to 26 feet high. At the crest of the embankment, that's up towards the top, was a similar mud brick wall whose base was roughly 14 meters. That's 46 feet high. See how intimidating these walls would be? And they would use, you know, back in that day, they'd use different battering rams and things of that nature. Israel didn't have none of those. They were, they were a bunch of shepherds and farmers. So they really didn't have a lot of the fancy warfare type equipment that a lot of people would have in order to lay a siege to a wall. Think about it. Especially a wall of this size. So it was roughly 46 feet at the top. And above ground and outside the retaining wall, this loomed high above the Israelites as they marched around the city each day for 7 days. Humanly speaking, it was impossible for the Israelites to penetrate the impregnable bestone of Jericho. So that just gives you an idea. You can keep those for yourself to give you an idea of what they faced. Listen to me. This task looked impossible. That's how it looked. And that's how it looked to the spies 40 years earlier. 40 years earlier, when they seen these cities, that's what they said. It's just like God said, but when you add a that on the end of something God says, then you know, here, I know God said this, but you're always going to have some type of problem. The previous generation were a generation of unbelief, except for a very select few. Okay? So we're going to look at, again, the message entitled the Jericho, a Victory of Faith. 3 points: the strength for victory, the plan for victory, and the key for victory. You got all three? Let me give them to you again. The strength for victory, the plan for victory, and the key for victory. Okay? Now, let's notice the strength for victory. And I think what the Lord does is He strengthens Joshua throughout the book of Joshua. Let's face it, Joshua had a huge task. I mean, first of all, he's coming in behind who? He's coming in behind Moses. I mean, Moses was a tremendous leader, and he led them up out of Egypt. So now he's replaced Moses. And now he's going to have to go across the Jordan River, and he's going to have to face Jericho. and all these Canaanite nations, who admittedly was greater and mightier than the Israelites. But who is that not figuring in? But that's not figuring in Israel's God. You always have to figure in Israel's God, which is our God, the only true God. So God's going to strengthen Joshua for the task. And I want you to notice how he does. Are you ready? We're going to run through this pretty quick. Look at Joshua chapter 1. He says in verse 5, "There shall not any man," Joshua 1:5, "there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee, and I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Would that strengthen you? God told you that. He said, "As I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. And I won't fail you, nor will I forsake you." All God's people said. That's a pretty strengthening promise, isn't it? Okay. Let's go ahead and look on down in the same verses, one of the greatest texts in the Scriptures. Are you ready in verse 9? Should know it. I've read it a lot over the years. If you don't got this marked in your Bible or something to point you to this verse, you need to do that. Great verse of Scripture. You're going to need this verse one of these days. "Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." So you see, what's he doing? He's got a big task ahead of him. He's going to have some great battles to fight. He's going to have some giants to face. He's going to have some walls that are very high and look impossible. It's going to be an overwhelming task. But what is the Lord telling him? Listen, I'll be with you. You got to figure God into the equation. Don't you wish you had that kind of promise? You do. You do have that kind of promise. We got that same promise that he gave to Joshua, that he gave to Moses. He'll never leave you, and he'll never forsake you. I don't know what your big wall might be. We're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. But whatever it is, whatever you're facing, if you're a child of the King, he wants you to know something. I won't forsake you in it, and I'll be with you in it. That's strengthening. That has a strengthening effect on your mind. When you just need to remind yourself every now and again, you just need to remind yourself every now and again who's with you and the power that he has of being with you. Y'all think that would strengthen him somewhat? All right, let's look over Joshua 2, and we're getting Joshua strengthened up. We're looking at the strengthening for victory, and he's strengthening up the leader. They needed their leader strong. Joshua chapter 2. Rahab, this is when the spies visit Rahab, and she, of course, lived in the city of Jericho. This was a cursed city. Matter of fact, when they destroyed this city, God told them not to take no spoil out of it. Burn it. It was a cursed city. Rahab lived in a cursed city. She did. All right, now let's read on. Now notice what Rahab says to these spies. Verse 9. "And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all inhabitants of the land faint because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. And when ye came out of Egypt, how and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." Would that strengthen you? That's what Rahab said about them. So it wasn't that they needed to be afraid of the Canaanites. The Canaanites was afraid of them. God had put a fear in them. And who actually they were afraid of? They were afraid of Israel's God. That's who they trembled at. I mean, you got to remember, Egypt was a dominant nation in the world at that time. And when they come out of Egypt, it was in ruins by the hand of the God of Israel. Okay? So what's he doing? He's strengthening Joshua. He's strengthening Joshua. Can you imagine these men coming back and saying, hey, boss, they're afraid of us. Actually, no, they're afraid of our God. They're trembling at our God. So that's a glorious thing. Go over to the book of Joshua chapter 3 now. Another obstacle they come to the Jordan River, and it's a flood stage, so they can't really cross, it doesn't look like. So what happens is they get the priest, and they're carrying the ark, and this is what happens in verse 14. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over the Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were coming to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for the Jordan overflowed all its banks at the time of the harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose upon a heap. That means the water just kind of started, stopped, and started going up. And then they go right across. They go right across. It's a little bit different parting than the other waters. Verse 16, that the waters which came down stood and rose upon a heap very far from the city of Adam, as beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain and the salt sea failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. Would that strengthen your faith too? See how God strengthened them? They have this big task for them. But he's strengthening Joshua. And he's strengthening the people. Getting ready for a great victory. Now let's go to Joshua chapter 5. Now, I can't get off the subject I'd like to on this verse. But in Joshua chapter 5, the captain of the Lord's host appears to Joshua. Now, I'm going to say before I read this, I think who's appearing to Joshua in the context is Jesus, pre-incarnate Christ. Jesus made several appearances in the Old Testament, and I think this is one of them. I'm not going to go on. You're looking at me like you want me to go there. I'm not going there tonight. I've went there in the past before, but there are several cases in the Old Testament. Let me give you an example, you know. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Y'all know who they are? That's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I used their Hebrew names. I used their Hebrew names. You know why I did that? Because they'd appreciate that. They were named after Israel's God. When they brought to Babylon, they give them Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. One of these days, when I go to heaven, I think they'll say, Jeff, I appreciate you using our Hebrew names down there whenever you dealt with that. I really do. So, you remember they threw them into the fire? And then the king looked over and he seen how many? Four, and one was likened to the Son of Man. That was Jesus. That's just an example. I think this is the same here. Different times he appears. And I think this is Jesus strengthening him. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, and he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. How would you like to see that? Here's a man, he has a drawn sword. And Joshua went unto him and said, art you for us or for our adversaries? Who are you for? He just looked like a man to him. Everybody got me? And he said, nay, but I am the captain of the host of the Lord, and now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. And he said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? Now, usually if a man fell before an angel, what did they tell him to do? Stand up, because angels never receive no worship. Doesn't happen here. Instead, notice what he says. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose the shoe from off your foot, for the place whereon you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. So who's that talking about? That's the Lord. Same thing the Lord did with regard to Moses when he went up on the mountain. Same thing. This is God. This is Jesus. I think. So there are several times in the Old Testament that I think he makes, it's, we call it the pre-incarnate Christ, where he appears at different times. This is a good study to do, but I'm not doing it tonight. So do you think this all this together would strengthen for the victory? Exactly. He had a big task. I want you to hear me. Joshua had a big task to do. The Israelites had a big task to do. I want you, if you have a big task, God will give you strength for it. That's what I want you to know. He'll give you the strength for the task that you have to face. I don't know what I'm going to have to face here out in the future. I don't know. Do you? But I do know for sure, whatever I have to face, that my God will be with me. And He will strengthen me for whatever task I have to face. How many believes that? Raise your right hand. Isn't that strengthening? He will strengthen me for whatever task I have to face. That's true of every child of God. That's true of every child of God. Isn't it great being saved? So He strengthened this man of God. Well, let's now go to Joshua 6. I've laid the foundation now. We looked at the strengthening for the victory. He strengthened his man here. He makes an appearance to him. He parted the Jordan River. All these things were things he could draw strength from. See? Now here in Joshua 6, God lays down His plan for victory. And this is really, to be blunt, this is kind of an odd plan that the Lord gave him to do. If you look down in verse 9, it says, "And the armed men went before the priest, and the armed men went before the priest that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, and the priest going on, blowing with the trumpets." Now, let me explain all this. Now, you can read all of that when you go home. But there, what the Lord does is He tells Joshua to make a different procession of, divide the people up in different ways. And in this procession, that was what this procession was going to do, is this procession was going to march around the wall of Jericho. That's what they'd do. They'd get up in the morning, and they'd go out, and they'd walk around it. Now, while they walked around it, they were to remain silent, other than the trumpets blowing. But they would walk around it. The people wasn't to say nothing. They would go around it, and then they'd go back to their camp. That's what they did. Now, He lined them up a certain way, and I want you to get how they lined up. First, it went foremost was the men of war. The warriors went first. After the warriors went seven priests who had ram's horns. Now, they blowed those. So here you have the men of, here in front was the men of war. Behind them was the seven priests, and they had the ram's horns. You've heard them probably. Well, there's something to hear. They blow these seven ram's horns as they went. After the seven priests was the Ark of the Covenant. You had the men that carry the Ark. They're carrying the Ark of the Covenant, which represented Israel's God. And the Ark of the Covenant was going right around with them. And then in the back was the rear guard. They called them on down in the text. And that was the rest of the people. Some say it's the rest of the army, but you can't really make I don't know if that's how it was or not. It seems to me to be the rest of the people when you look at the context. So you got that? Men of war, seven priests, the ark, and the rear guard. Verse 10 now, and Joshua commanded the people and said, Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice. Neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day that I bid you shout, and ye shall shout. Okay? Now, what the procedure was one time a day they did this. So, can you imagine what they thought in Jericho? Here they come. And remember, I think they would have been rather intimidating. Looking at 600,000 men. If they brought the whole company out, you're talking about 2 million people if they brought that many people out. So that's a large number of people that would be going around that particular city. So get up, go around, and they don't do nothing. They don't say anything. They're not hollering at the people on the walls. They're silent. Just like God told them. You just be still. You do what I tell you. You go around the wall. Okay? They blow the trumpets. It's the only noise it would be. Got up the next morning, did the same thing the third, the fourth, the fifth, and the sixth morning. And on the seventh morning, they go around seven times. Seven times they march around it. And let's pick up the story with that. Seven times they go around it. Let's pick up at verse 15. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner seven times. Only on that day they compassed the city seven times. It came to pass at the seventh time, when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city." Okay, and the city shall be accursed, and it shall be, and it shall all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers thereof. Let's look on over into the text. There's another thing here I want to show you. Look back at verse 5. I want you to notice in verse 5 what it says about the walls when they fell. It came to pass when they made a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city fell down how? Flat. So, it, like when the World Trade Center, you've seen all that big high rubble. There wasn't none of that here. It fell flat. Like it went down into the ground almost. So when they went in, they weren't trying to climb over everything to get in. They went straight in. It fell down flat. Okay? What was the key to their victory, folks? Faith. By faith, Hebrews 11:30 said, by faith the walls of Jericho fell. God told them what to do. God told them exactly what to do. He gave them the exact order of the procession that they were to use. You know, the men of war was to go, then the trumpets, then the ark, and then the rear guard. You do that. You go one time. Don't talk while you're doing it either. And then on the seventh day, you go seven times. And then you shout. And the walls will fall flat. You know what the people did? Somebody tell me. They did just what God said. In other words, they trusted what God said. They believed it. They didn't say, "Well, that's too simple. Surely we got to do something." No, God told them what to do. And by faith, that's exactly what they did. They trusted God. God said, "Walk around this city." You know what they did? They walked around it. God said, "Be still." They were still. God said, "Shout." They shouted. They did because God said so. I'm sure they didn't understand it. Can you imagine walking around there and you're walking around the city and you're not saying nothing? I mean, you know you'd be dying to whisper going, "What's going on?" No, you'd been dying to say something, but you wouldn't because God said, "Be still." They had to trust what God told them. And it probably didn't look like it made a whole lot of sense. Did it make a lot of sense? It makes a lot of sense to us because we got the book. I'm sure it didn't make a lot of sense to them. But those walls fell how? They fell by faith. They trusted God's promise. You know what the key to victory today is? The key to victory is faith. Still the same victory of faith. You know what the biggest wall man has to face? You know what the very biggest wall that men have to face? It's a sin curse. That's the greatest wall there is. It's the most dangerous wall that there is. The Bible says that if you break God's law in one point, how many? One point. Then you're guilty. Galatians 3 said, "Cursed is everyone." Galatians 3:10, "Cursed is everyone." It doesn't continue in all the things which are written in the law to do them. What I'm trying to tell you tonight, if you haven't by faith trusted Christ, then you're under this big wall of curse right here. You're cursed. And you don't want to die there. You say, "Well, how does that wall fall?" Well, it falls by faith. You got to trust Jesus by faith. Let me show you a text. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You don't have to turn there if you can't find things fast. So I'm going to read it real fast. I read this on the radio broadcast a few months back. The key to victory today, folks, is still faith, isn't it? Let me say it one more time. The key to victory today is still faith. Walls of Jericho fell by faith. They did it just like God said. They trusted God's word and they obeyed God's word. You know, if you want to be saved, you got to do the same thing. You got to trust God's word. You got to trust His promises, what He gave you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, notice what it says. Are you ready? 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21 says, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that do what? Save them that believe." And I don't know how many people look at it and say, "Well, that's too simple. Surely you got to do more than believe." Well, the walls of Jericho, that looked, I mean, what God said to do looked simple there too, didn't it? But they fell by faith. Believing, of course, is more than believing that there's a God and believing that God exists. Believing is trusting Jesus as your Savior. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, let's turn there real fast. Romans chapter 1, I want you to notice verse 16. It says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ." I'm not ashamed of the gospel. What is the gospel? It's the death and resurrection of Jesus. It's the power of God to salvation. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes." So what's the greatest wall men have that they're facing? What's the greatest wall? It's the sin curse. You can't get over that wall. On your own strength. You can't get over it. You can't knock it down. You can't scale it. All you can, the only way you can knock that wall down is by faith. Faith in Jesus. And when you trust Jesus as your Savior, that wall falls. And you have everlasting life through Christ Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever trusted Christ as your Savior? I didn't ask you, did you know about Jesus? Or you know that Jesus lived? I'm asking you, have you trusted Him as your Savior? That's how that wall falls. You know, other walls fall the same way. Other walls fall the exact same way. How about the wall of fear? Have you ever had a wall of fear? Have you not? Have you ever been fearful? Have you been afraid what might happen? Or possibly could happen? You ever had blood tests and waiting on the news and you feared the whole time till you got your blood test results back? Ever been afraid? Maybe you're afraid, maybe you came here tonight and you're afraid of something that might. We fear what might happen. How's that wall fall? Faith. Lord, I don't know what's going to happen out here in the future. You do. You're going to be with me in it. Whatever it be, you'll be with me in it. Y'all believe that? We done looked at that. Whatever I face, you're going to be with me in it. And whatever I need to do, you're going to give me the strength for it. And give me the ability to handle it when I get there. When I get there, you might not even get it. What you're feared about might not even happen. But if it does, how do you knock that wall down? I'm just going to trust the Lord. I'm going to trust Him. He'll give me the strength for it. He'll give me the grace for it. And you know what? He'll even have a good purpose to work out from it. See that fearful wall? What happens to it? It collapses with faith. Faith in who? Faith in your God. How about a wall of doubt? How about a wall of doubt? You ever doubt the Lord? You ever doubt a promise of God? I've told people before, now the Lord's with you and He's working things out. Oh, yeah, I know all that. And they'll go, well, you can tell they ain't drawing much strength from it. They're filled with doubt. They're doubting their God. They're doubting His promises. They're doubting that it is going to work together for the good. They're doubting that it is that God does have a purpose. They're doubting that God's with them. But how's that wall of doubt fall? Same way, faith. No, I believe God. I just believe you. I can't. Man, these things happen in my life that don't make no sense to me whatsoever. And I just say, Lord, this don't make no sense. But I tell you one thing, You make sense, and You're in charge. And I just trust You. And then I don't worry about it. That's what's used to anyhow. I just trust Him. And then the wall of doubt does what? It falls. See, these walls all fall by faith. How about you ever have a wall of worry? What are you worried about tonight? Worry is fear. Just another, I dealt with fear at top of it. Really, worry and fear is the same thing. The word for worry is actually anxiety, which is a form of, it's fear. We're afraid of what might happen, what could happen. How's that wall fall? Trust. All these walls fall by faith. But the greatest wall, again, is the sin curse. The key to this victory was what again? Key to victory is faith. Now let's go back to Hebrews. I'm sorry. See, where do I want to go? Let's go back to Joshua 6. I'm almost done. Joshua chapter 6. When we looked at our text in Hebrews 11, we looked at verse 30 and verse 31. And we talked about the walls of Jericho falling by faith. But we also talked about Rahab. And she's called Rahab the harlot. And I think the Lord done a great transformation in this lady's life. She indeed did. And I've just done a message on her not long ago. It's the reason why I didn't do a separate sermon on Rahab. But Rahab was saved. How was Rahab saved? She is saved by faith. Let me go ahead and read my text here one more time. Listen to this. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed 7 days. And remember, they fell how? Flat. Archaeology that has found that says, and I don't have to have archaeology find it for me, believe it. If God's Word says it, I believe it. I don't have to see it, evidence of it. Because who wrote God's Word is God, and God is the most credible witness you'll ever have. They fell flat. Archaeology shows they fell flat. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Now let's go back to Joshua 6. Joshua 6. And notice what it says at verse, it would be good if I got out of Judges. I looked down, I thought, I'm talking about looking at Gideon there for a second there. And I said, that couldn't be in Joshua. Joshua chapter 6. Notice what it says in 22. Let's begin there. We'll read this text. But Joshua said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and bring thence the woman and all that she hath, as she sware unto her. And the young men that were spies went in, and they brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred, and they left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire, and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron they put into the treasury of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot, alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelled in Israel even unto this day, because she did hide the spies. What moved her to do it? Faith. Faith. God saved this woman. You know, she's even in, you look at Matthew 1, she's in the Christ line. The line that led to the Messiah. Rahab is in the Christ line. It's an amazing, amazing, amazing story. When the spies left, they went down by a scarlet cord. Remember? They climbed down the what? The scarlet, off the what? Yeah, so that means there was a part of a wall that didn't fall. And archaeology found that too. They did find a wall that didn't fall. And that would have been where Rahab was at. So I think that's pretty cool. They told her to leave that scarlet cord in the window. Buddy, when you heard those walls falling and all this thing, what was your instinct been to do? Run. And the two spies said, you stay behind that scarlet cord. if you leave, if any of you have leaves and goes out in the street, I'm free from the oath that I'm giving you here this day. But you need to stay behind the door. Well, that's what she did. But you notice what else she did? She brought her whole family behind it. She didn't just want to be saved. She wanted her whole family to be saved too. Isn't that really what you want? I mean, here salvation was coming. She was in a cursed city. God had provided her a message of grace. And He said, listen, you put that scarlet cord in that window, and when the men come through and they see that scarlet cord, everybody's safe that's behind the door of that house. No judgment will come there. Nothing bad will happen there. Whoever's there will be saved. Whoever's behind the scarlet cord will be saved. You leave that thing flying there. You leave that thing attached. Rahab was saved by faith. And she so believed in what they said that she got her family out of there. She got her people. And she says, the God of Israel's coming. And they're going to destroy this city. But they said that whoever goes behind this scarlet cord, whoever's in the room behind this scarlet cord, will be saved. Isn't that simple? I'm going to tell you something, Brother Coy. We in a cursed world. Can I get a witness? We in a cursed world. And one of these days, the King's going to come. And He's going to bring this thing to a close once the last lost sheep's brought in. He's going to bring her to a close. And there's a scarlet cord today that you need to get behind, and that's the blood of the Lord Jesus. You need to get behind it. You need to apply it to your life. And if you do, you're free from the curse. See the picture? See, God painted pictures all over the Bible so you can look at it and see how to be saved. They had to get behind that door by faith, and they had to stay behind that door by faith. They hear all the commotion, they stayed behind it because that's what God said to do. Y'all think it's too simple? I get sick of people saying that's too simple. Faith isn't simple. Faith is putting all your trust in Christ. Let me ask you a question. Are you behind the scarlet cord? Have you applied the blood of Jesus to your life? Have you trusted Him as your Savior? We're in a cursed world for sure. That's right. But there's a new world coming. One day the Messiah will reign over this earth. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And everybody that's going to be a part of that kingdom has to have the blood applied to their life. Have to have trusted Christ. Has to be washed clean from your sin. You don't have to have a degree of theology to understand what I just told you, do you? You just got to get behind it. And you get behind it by what? Somebody tell me. By faith. You just say, Lord, I believe. I see it. And I'm going to trust you tonight. Won't you do that? Won't you do that? All God's people say, let's all stand. Thank you, folks. And we'll stop with that. Appreciate your attention. Appreciate you coming on Wednesdays. I'm available after service if you want to talk to me about your soul, or if you want me to pray with you about something, I'd be glad to do that. You come on up to one of these front two pews. Remember that. Many of our services Sunday, we've been having good services, y'all think? The Lord's been adding people, and the Lord's blessing. You know, I'm going to warn you now, whenever the Lord's blessing, you got to be very leery of the strong man, too. He knows it. Told you before in the past, activity draws enemy fire. It always does. So be leery. Guard your flesh. Guard your flesh, because that's when we're most prone to get that. Pray that the Lord would continue to bless. So if nothing further, we'll go ahead and close with the Lord's Prayer. If you need to talk to me in one of these front two pews.